Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Welcome to tonight's madness, verbal violence, psychological jujitsu, and the other fun we have on this program every night as we try to deal with the Bush crime family. Did you see the press conference or any of it? Do you know about it? Nancy Pelosi and a couple other House Democrats held a press briefing today to offer their plan to introduce binding legislation for troop withdrawal. You know, an honest effort to disengage us from this four-year-long horror. And of course, immediately these filthy Republicans start screaming their Soviet-style slogans, but that's beside the point. The main problem I had in listening, I don't think anybody quite understood what Pelosi was saying. I don't think the reporters got it. She looked a little confused. Maybe that's part of the strategy, though, make the plan kind of confusing so they can't, or so they can refine it later, and so the Republicans can't specifically attack. You know, I don't know. We'll have some of that for you in a moment here. Maybe you can figure it out. And astonishingly, General David Petraeus in Iraq today held his first briefing as commander there. And he stated fairly categorically from where I sat that a military solution alone is not going to happen to stop the violence there. He said a political solution has to be found. Gee, isn't that what the Iraq Study Group report said? And Bush went ahead and got all dressed up in his flight suit and ordered the troops in anyway. You know, this man is out of his mind. You get a real military man in there. Now, I don't care, you know, I don't know a dog squat about David Petraeus, except he wrote a book on, he updated the Army's manual on counterinsurgency warfare, and it was pretty much taken apart in a recent issue of Harper's Magazine, and very clearly Petraeus's approach to counterinsurgency would have worked prior to Vietnam. It might have worked in for not that I'm comparing him to Nazis, but it might have worked for the Nazis in dealing with insurgencies in occupied countries in Eastern Europe during World War II. But the book is ridiculous. You can read. Go to Harper's Magazine. .com, and I think it's an issue or two back. And, you know, Petraeus is touted as the smartest man in the military. Yeah, a doctorate from Princeton. Whoa. A West Point graduate. He's supposedly very articulate, completely understands the madness of war to a degree that he apparently likes to be in it. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I can't figure him out. It's not my place to figure him out. I think anybody on that level, the level that Petraeus is on, who doesn't categorically state to anyone who will listen, this has been a huge mistake, militarily, geopolitically, from a standpoint of social chaos and breakdown in this sad country that we have been torturing for 14 years, so it's time for us to leave. Any four-star general, which is what he is now, who doesn't, or three-star, two, or one, or colonel, or lieutenant colonel, or major, or captain, who doesn't say that sort of, anyone in a leadership position, mid-level all the way up to flag rank, who doesn't say that, is either just, you know, sucking up his career, or a fool, or a war lover. And there are war lovers in the U.S. military at the highest levels. There are people who truly do, as Colonel What's-His-Name said in Apocalypse Now, love the smell of napalm first thing in the morning. I don't know from Petraeus. He did make the statement today that a military solution is impossible. Okay. And the Democrats say it's time to get our troops out. They've set a limit of, I think, what, October of 2008? Is that what it is, Kathy? Hard to tell. We'll get to that in a moment. Senator Pete Domenici, the Republican senator from New Mexico, has hired, this is from thinkprogress.org, has hired a top defense attorney to handle the pending ethics investigation into against him into allegations that he pressured a federal prosecutor to bring indictments against New Mexico Democrats on the eve of the 2006 election. Now, the attorney he's hired is Lee Blalock, who recently represented former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, who is now serving long time in prison for bribery and other offenses, fraud, bribery. Cunningham was filthy. Oh, Jesus. And Cunningham was prosecuted and put in jail by U.S. Attorney Carol Lam, who has since been fired. So Domenici has hired Duke Cunningham's attorney. Yo, Pete, careful here. Oh, no, no, no. Go ahead, hire him. Go ahead. You rat bastard. This Republic. These Republicans, I don't know. Duke Cunningham. Not only is Duke Cunningham corrupt and filthy and a liar someone who believes in keeping his hand out for as much as he can get, this guy was stealing left and right. He was stealing from the American taxpayer. He was stealing from defense contractors. Just a real scummy person. Not only was Cunningham that bad, but his son got busted for trying to smuggle cocaine into the United States. Jesus God, these Republicans are vile, aren't they? Filthy, filthy, filthy. Good luck, Pete. Maybe you and Randy will get to share a bunk together or something. There, I don't know why I'm mentioning this. I guess because my senior correspondent sent it to me. Fox News Channel is a nest of slime and swine such as I don't think has ever gathered together in one place in American media. Anywhere. Not even as bad as the Rush Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. You know, at least there's only him. But Fox News Channel, with just all this debris, these useless, pointless, brain-dead commentators and anchors, and of the group, I have to say, other than Hannity, who's just a walking argument for retroactive abortions up to about age 50, but other than Hannity, John Gibson, old yellow hair, who really got his moment in the sun during the Clinton impeachment debacle. Well, every year Fox News comes up, it's cyclical, the attack on Christmas, and now it's attack on Easter. Last year it was O'Reilly who said there was a war on Easter, that the Easter Bunny was under attack. Easter Bunny. Let's see now, the Easter Bunny was shot by a farmer and buried and rose on the third day. Is that how that works? I don't know. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly said last year Easter Bunny was under attack. And after embarrassing himself and his colleagues, if that's possible at Fox News, he eventually acknowledged there is no attack on Easter this year. It's Gibson. Yeah, John Gibson. Is this from Think Progress, too? I think it is. I think this is from Think Progress, too. John Gibson is carrying the war on Easter mantra, hailing it today as, quote, an incredible development, end quote. Gibson cited efforts by the city of Walnut Creek, California, to rebrand the Easter Bunny as the Spring Bunny. And Gibson wondered aloud on Fox News Channel, as he is wont to do occasionally. You know, his brain just goes into some sort of reverse neutral. Has this political correctness gone too far? Well, the truth is, of course, there's no war on Easter. These right-wing pissants stir up these kinds of controversies in order to raise money and suggests that you know, we liberals or we atheists or we progressives are at war with Christianity. Of course, in my case, that's true. But certainly not Walnut Creek, California. And I'm not at war with Christianity, not at all. I'm, you know, to me, it's just, that's like saying I'm at war with Greek mythology or with, Chinese astrologers. You know, I'm not at war with Christianity. I put it in the same category as Greek mythology. I'm not at war with it. It's just I'm at war in my own little inimitable way with people who promulgate this nonsense and say, you see this Bible? I'm going to beat the hell out of you with this Bible unless you... Never mind. Anyway, a little bit more on this when we come back, because this is just... You're going to hear more of this. War on Easter. Oh, God. Brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media. Brainwashed by...
in the morning. The terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your back sleeping bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Keep a bucket on your head.
Keep a bucket.
You won't need any eye holes. They'll just
21 past the hour. So this attack on Easter nonsense. Once again, not only do people like John Gibson at Fox, who come this year, has come up with this crap. Not only is he insane, but these people don't even understand what Easter is all about. You know, it's another one of those holidays co-opted by early Christians to coincide with their mythology that there was a rising from the dead. Easter is a pagan holiday to begin with. It's about rebirth, sex, more sex. Did I mention sex? It's a joyful time. It's a reawakening. The solstice the equinox occurs right around Easter. Which mean, yes, by God, or by Zeus, or by somebody, the sun is returning. It hasn't been devoured by the dragon on the dark side of the moon, so it is returning. It's strictly a pagan fertility holiday. And it's just like what happened with Christmas, with the winter solstice that was co-opted by the early Christians. Under orders from the early popes, go into these Netherlands and find out what their big holidays are and turn them into celebrations of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is very simple. So when Gibson or O'Reilly or the rest of these idiots start talking about these holidays, they have no frame of reference, no historical, no legendary frame, no mythic frame, nothing. They just it's something to talk about because they're on Fox News. And as far as Walnut Creek, Gibson said the city of Walnut Creek, California, is trying to rebrand. Don't you love that? Rebrand the Easter Bunny as the Spring Bunny. Spring Bunny. Oh, my God. Now, the fact is, Walnut Creek made these changes 5 years ago. And according to San Francisco Chronicle reporter Chuck Nevius, a quote, Walnut Creek is flabbergasted that they're in the crosshairs of a national controversy, end quote. If you want to go to Think Progress, you can see the interview that Gibson did with Chuck Nevius. War on Easter. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got something you can make war on, Gibson. It's my attitude about you folks. We have some good news and some bad news. The good news is Ted Haggard is still heterosexual. The bad news is Marvel Comics has killed off Captain America. Captain America, for God's sake. Peter Fonda's Captain America. Well, not that, but, you know, Captain America. When did that come out? It was before I was born. Not that many things have happened in the modern era before people my age were born. But I think 1941 Captain America came out. And he fought the Nazis and did a damn good job. And at one point, when World War II was over, he was frozen in a glacier or something. I'm looking at Kathy like she knows what the hell I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You know Superman and Batman.
I know the X-Men.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. But Chris in Minnesota writes, as a comic book writer, that's what he is, and fan who bought and read the issue yesterday, I have to state the obvious. Anyone who thinks Captain America is dead is a piker. It happened hundreds of thousands of times with various characters. The adage is this, no one ever dies in comics. By this time next year, if not sooner, Captain America will be alive and well. And Chris writes, this is almost as bad as the war on Easter. Except not quite as phony. All right, anyway, Marvel Comics has killed off Captain America.
Is Batgirl still gay?
Gay?
Yeah, I think the latest Batgirl was gay. Was a lesbian,
really?
I think. I love it. I thought it was great. It would give Lynn Cheney something to read.
Are you PMS-y tonight? Are you?
Oh, just out the window tonight.
I sort of thought. I noticed something. I noticed it today when you were making those little pizza things for your poker party.
Oh, don't get me started on the pizzas. I ruined the floor. I about burned up the oven, and I fell in the kitchen and broke my back. It was a bad day.
Well, that's why I took Molly and went to the playground. You scared me.
Get her away from me. I was just a walking disaster today.
Oh, yeah, you scared both of us today. And we were in the car, and I was trying to explain to her, this is called, sweetie, PMS. And you know, most, if not all, women go through this. And every 30 days, and Daddy's been dealing with this with Mommy for nigh on all these years now, 11 years, and it's no big thing. Don't worry about it.
We get out of the house and go far, far away from Mommy.
We go all the way to Decatur and check the P.O. box.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 25 before the hour. Marcus, an amateur Anglo-Saxon scholar, wants me to know that Easter, the name Easter already is the pagan name for spring. It is Anglo-Saxon. The modern spelling is Easter. The old spelling is E-O-S-T-R-A or O-S-T-A-R-A. Estra means spring. Yeah, probably means egg, too. Yeah. Just a couple more things here. I realize we're getting a slow start tonight, but and there's a reason for it. all right, I like this. David Gergen is mentally retarded. This is from, now a lot of people said over at Think Progress, don't say that because it insults people who are really dealing with some sort of mental problems. But David Gergen, many of you know, he's served in all sorts of presidential administrations. He's a real chameleon. A consummate Washington insider, so-called nonpartisan elder statesman, blah, 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 blah. And he was offering some comments, I think it's CNN, on CNN, the reporter on their website anyway, about the Scooter Libby affair. And, I mean, the Irving Libby affair. And Gergen said, quote, "This is an administration that has been mostly free of scandal over the last 6 years, and now they have the taint that they cannot erase," end quote. David Gergen said that, right? Huh? And whoever wrote this, or no, maybe this is, damn it, I don't know who this is, who wrote this, but anyway, he or she wrote, "Mostly free of scandal. Jesus Christ, it's the most corrupt and incompetent kleptocracy in American history. The election itself was a scandal. How about Cheney's secret energy task force, Jack Abramoff, Halliburton's no-bid contract, Shalabi, Cheney hunting humans, Cheney's unmarried pregnant lesbian daughter, the invasion of Iraq, mission accomplished, Abu Ghraib, Enron, Gitmo, Katrina, FEMA, Nigerian uranium, Armstrong Williams, Jessica Lynch, Pat Tillman, Jeff Gannon, Dubai ports, blocking the 9/11 commission, and anthrax, weapons of mass destruction." Nope, no scandals there. Gergen is either going the Limbaugh route, eating lots of pills, or he's dealing with early Alzheimer's. No offense to people who are really dealing with early Alzheimer's, but you know the symptoms. Somebody makes a statement, this administration has been scandal-free for 6 years. So, by the way, is there a bathroom close by? You know, oh my God. And now this. Somebody just sent this to me, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm probably just boring the living hell out of you tonight. But Newt Gingrich, I mean, Newt Gingrich just said something that is on the same profound level as Newt Gingrich saying, water is wet. What has he done? Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich acknowledged today he was having an extramarital affair, even as he led the charge against Clinton over the Monica Lewinsky affair. He acknowledged this in an interview with a Christian conservative group. I focus on the family. You talk about a bunch of people, a bunch of Christian white men sitting around fondling each other. That's what this reminds me of. Focus on the phallus. This is a guy, James Dobson, who says that if you're a man and you don't want your son to be a flaming homosexual, then take showers with him and show him daddy's penis, and that will make the young lad, I don't know what it will make him, but they're all just nuts. They're wacko. They're sexual deviants, and I don't mean gay. Gaydom is not deviant. These people are deviant, but there sits, I could just see this, Dobson and Gingrich. Now, everybody knew about Gingrich is a serial adulterer. He's never had a wife he didn't cheat on. It was common knowledge in D.C. that when he was in the U.S. House, when he was Speaker, he used to go for lunch out in the parking lot and have one of the little female pages come out with him and service him. And if not a female page, he would just, you know, pick random 17-year-olds. But this guy is really a vile, child-molesting son of a bitch, not to mention the fact that he does things like going into his second. Oh, he married his when he was in high school. He had an algebra teacher, and he waited till he was out of high school and then married her, and then divorced her because when see he's from Atlanta. He's from the Atlanta area. We know him down here. We know this rat bastard. We know him. And after he married his high school math teacher. And his political career started to blossom, kind of like like one of those foul desert plants that stink to high heaven. He decided that his first wife wasn't attractive enough. So he got rid of her, and he married his second wife. His second wife that he cheated on, and he cheated on his first wife with the woman that became his second wife, plus just scores of women. The second wife developed breast cancer, had surgery. While she was recovering from surgery, he came in and let her know that the divorce proceedings that he had initiated were going to change a little bit because he wasn't going to pay the kind of alimony and child support that he originally agreed to. While the woman is recovering from breast cancer surgery, when Clinton was going through his gyrations, Newt Gingrich was having an affair with a staffer on the House Agricultural Committee, someone about 25 years younger than he, which you know, the age difference is really immaterial, I guess, unless you happen to be the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives and your afternoon delight is somebody who's working as, I don't know if she's an unpaid intern or whatever. But so he divorced his second wife and married her. Callista. His second wife is Marianne, and his new wife, or not new anymore, is Callista, a former congressional aide, much younger than he, but so what? Kathy's younger than I am. That, you know, that really doesn't mean that much, I guess. His first marriage, it says here, to his former high school geometry teacher, ended divorce in 81. On and on and on. But this guy is such a filthy punk. He acknowledged in an interview with James Dobson that he was boinking all these women. He said, the honest answer is yes. And he went on to say, there are times that I have fallen short of my own standards. There are certainly times when I've fallen short of God's standards. Then Gingrich went on to argue in the interview that he should not be viewed as a hypocrite for pursuing Clinton's infidelity. Why? Here's why. Quote, the President of the United States got in trouble for committing a felony in front of a sitting federal judge. I drew a line in my mind that said, even though I run the risk of being deeply embarrassed, and even though at a purely personal level I am not rendering judgment on another human being, as a leader of the government trying to uphold the rule of law, I have no choice except to move forward and say that you cannot accept perjury in your highest officials, end quote. Oh, gag me with a jock strap. Good God. Oh! He added in the interview, there were times when I was praying and when I felt I was doing things that were wrong. Yeah, you know you can go blind from that. But I was still doing them. I look back on those as periods of weakness and periods that I'm not proud of. By the way, Dobson, do you have a daughter? Do you have a house pet? Do you have any granddaughters? What a sick bastard. Jesus. He goes on the... So you can bet that Gingrich is going to make a run for the presidency. He, certain old world explorers who had come to the new world 600 years ago to spread corruption and disease and filth before they got here to corrupt paradise, they would make a pilgrimage to Rome to get the blessing of the Pope before they went out to poison indigenous peoples all over the planet, you know, with their illnesses and their vileness, you know, the European crap. So in keeping with that tradition, the current spreaders of vileness, like Newt Gingrich, they go to our popes, you know, James Dobson and who's that guy down there with Coral Ridge Ministries, the one that hates queers so much? What's his name? I love to watch him. He gets up there and just froths at the mouth. I watch him.
Ted Haggard?
No. He's still heterosexual. Coral Ridge Ministries. I can't think of his name. But spittle flies out of his mouth. And when I used to do theater, I used to hate, there were certain actors I hated to be in plays with, especially if it was an emotional scene and I was in the scene with them, because they would get, you know, they would discharge their energy rather than through the characterization, but through being all demonstrative, which our acting coach used to say, don't do that. But they would spit. And so I've become very aware. Taming of the Shrew was a good one. When Kate is first introduced to, another blank. And people spit when
Petruchio.
They do this. Petruchio, thank you. I was going to say Pinocchio.
No problem. Close enough. It's that early Alzheimer's.
But I love to watch the Coral Ridge Ministries guy because huge chunks of spittle fly out, you know, and it's just like, oh, preach, brother, preach.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
Oh, and by the way, Clinton never was convicted of perjury, either in a state court, a federal court, or in his trial in the Senate. So once again, Newt is so full of himself, which means he's so full of smelly stuff that he can't even get that straight. You know, he can't. He says the President of the United States got in trouble for committing a felony in front of a sitting federal judge, which is simply not true. Oh, well. Comic relief. What else we got? Jesus, I hope that's all. Can we get to the real stuff? ABC News is reporting that Henry Waxman has announced that Valerie Plame Wilson will testify before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform a week from tomorrow. Other witnesses are also expected to appear, but their names have not yet been released.
Now, watch C-SPAN miss that one.
Yeah, right. They
you know,
totally
I'll
will.
Be scrambling around the house like a freak, you know, trying to, is the pipeline on? You know, I'll be calling the House committees. And
he also, he wants Fitzgerald. Waxman said he wants Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald to testify before his committee. And I think Fitzgerald has to if he's subpoenaed, or else he could be held in contempt of Congress because it's not an ongoing investigation. As somebody pointed out in an email to me the other night, I think that's the reason, or the writer, the emailer said, this is the reason that Fitzgerald made such a sledgehammer point of saying the investigation is over. And my emailer said the reason he put it that way was to open the door for the Democrats in Congress to begin their own investigation, of which his testimony would be part. Now that he's not, there's no investigation. You see, this is how that filthy, disgusting insult to the United States Marine Corps, Oliver North, got off. This is how so many of the Iran-Contra people got off, but especially Oliver North. His attorneys claimed that his testimony before Congress was immunized testimony and therefore couldn't be used against him. And a lot of people followed the Democrats for pushing ahead with the Iran-Contra hearings instead of waiting for a special prosecutor to indict these sons of bitches and send them all to prison. Of course, Herbert Bush would have pardoned them, like he did. All right, what else we got? This is from Walt in Spotswood, New Jersey. He writes, Mike, I wanted to let you know about an Iraq War anti-escalation resolution today in the New Jersey General Assembly, and the no-good cowardly Republicans who refused to vote yes or no. The resolution went on to pass 43-0, but the resolution sponsor, Assemblyman Reed Gussiora, had this to say about his Republican colleagues' utter failure to go on record on legislation he sponsored opposing Bush's policy of a troop surge in Iraq. This is what that assemblyman said, quote, our nation's involvement in Iraq is the most important moral issue of our time, and New Jersey's Republicans suddenly have gone AWOL. It is incomprehensible that not one member of the Republican minority could be bothered to have an opinion on the president's foreign policy. The GOP's inability to speak up in any fashion is just about as troubling as the president's inability to listen to the American people on this issue, end quote. Just thought you'd like to see this, Walt writes, and let all your listeners know that we are trying to get it done in Jersey. And if you want the whole story, go to bluejersey.com, bluejersey.com. Can you imagine? Yeah, Republicans, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I can't think of a Republican lawmaker at all who is not an overgrown child. And most people who say they're conservative or Republican are the same. But the lawmakers, I mean, they pout, they kick their feet. I think my almost three-year-old Molly would look at Republicans and blush out of embarrassment when they throw their little fits. They won't show up for votes. They elect into their leadership positions a thumbsucker like Mitch McConnell. Have you ever taken a good close look at that guy? Woo, Jesus. I bet you that's a member of Congress, the Senate, who wears a corset under his suit. Oh, Jesus. And as tight as he can pinch it, too, or cinch it, or whatever you call it. But anyway, all Republican legislators are babies. They're and I don't mean that in a cute, like, yeah, little baby. I mean babyfied. They do the equivalent of crapping in their own diapers, using pacifiers, demanding mommy's breast, or the bottle. It's astonishing to me. Listen to them sometime. Watch their body language. That's why they call themselves the daddy party, is because they're constantly looking for daddy. What the hell is wrong with you, Republicans? Your fathers beat you or abandon you? What? And it's not just on a national level, apparently. Okay, House Democrats proposed legislation today that will have U.S. combat troops out of Iraq by August 2008 or sooner if certain benchmarks of progress aren't met. Now, see, I think this is bogus as hell, but you know, these are Democrats, so let's hear what they got to say. The troop withdrawal timetables are embedded in appropriations legislation that provides money for care of wounded troops, for better equipment and training, and for expanded operations in Afghanistan. Well, you can see what the pig man, the filthy degenerate Limbaugh and his clones are going to say, that the Democrats really don't care for our wounded troops. You see, they're going to spin this. They're going to try desperately to spin this back into the faces of the Democrats who are trying to save American lives, trying to save Iraqi lives. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate Republicans? I haven't. I hate them to the breadth and depth and width my soul doth
Petruchio.
My soul doth reach. Or Reggie will send me in the quote. we're going to have some Petruchio. We're going to have some.
I got one Shakespeare a night. That's it.
Well, that was a good one. I was in. I did a scene study one time when Kate and Petruchio first meet, and it's a real physical scene. The way our director had us do it, throwing each other around. But Barbara, and you know the actress Babs, she would spit a lot, and that was the part. But she was so short.
I can't wait to see her and tell her that.
The spit would hit my chest. So, but this guy who runs Coral Ridge Ministries, he spits all over the place when he's talking about queers and commies and liberals. And we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. D. James Kennedy, that's his name. Thanks, Roland. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Email during the break from Eleanor about Newt Gingrich. And yeah, I remember the story too, Eleanor. I think it came as, it may have just been a straight ahead news story during the time that Newt was screwing over one of his wives, or it may have been part of a, a deposition or testimony in a divorce suit. But Eleanor writes, I still remember reading one story about him. A woman was walking through one of the D.C. parking lots with her two small children, and she passed by a car in which Newt was sitting, getting serviced. She was horrified and then realized that if her children hadn't been children and very short, they would have seen into the car, too. Newt makes me want to puke. What a miserable excuse for an oxygen sucker. Eleanor. All right, this Nancy Pelosi thing. Kate writes, Mike was reading your site. Pelosi says we'll be out by August 2008. What the hell good is that? They're dying now. Our service people and the Iraqis. How many more will die in 17 months? Besides, didn't some repugnant pundit say they would be out by October 2008? 2 effing months early, just in time for the election? How convenient. What is the point of this charade? Smoke and mirrors, bread and circuses. Keep us busy, hoping and wondering, what are they up to? While everyone goes up in smoke around us. Well, everything goes up in smoke around us. They think they'll just fly off to the embassy in Baghdad. But even if they kill all the Iraqi people, think how poisonous it must be there with the depleted uranium we've used. Perhaps that would be a good place for a war crimes prison, maybe in poor Fallujah. We don't have 17 months to stop this guy. Kate. Nancy Pelosi says the plan put forth by the Democrats, quote, will focus our military efforts on Afghanistan and fighting the war on terrorism where it began. Maxine Waters, Democrat California, who spoke for the progressives and the out of Iraq caucuses, was critical of this proposal. Ms. Waters said, quote, this plan would require us to believe whatever the president would tell us about progress that was being made. And this is the same president that led us into a war with false information. No weapons of mass destruction, said we would be welcomed with open arms, and that the mission had been accomplished. Now we expect him to give us a progress report on their plan by July. And, of course, House Minority Leader John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, criticized the whole thing. He said, unfortunately, the Democrats' latest plan is an old twist on an old adage, failure at any cost. Democrats are using the critical troop funding bill to micromanage the war on terror. undermining our generals on the ground and slowly choking off resources for our troops by establishing and telegraphing to our enemy arbitrary timelines for withdrawal. Democrats are mandating failure. I get him, too, when the lights go out. I want John Boehner, and I'm entitled. He's from my home state. I just, oh, boy. Pelosi was joined by Democratic Representatives Murtha of Pennsylvania, David Obey of Wisconsin, and Ike Skelton of Missouri, and presenting what they called the U.S. Troop Readiness, Veterans Health, and Iraq Accountability Act. They hope to get the legislation on the floor in 2 weeks. All right, see if you can figure this out. I'm pleased to see the Democrats offering What apparently, and I'm not trying to be coy here, you'll hear it in a second, a concrete plan to get our troops the hell out of there. But I wish they would state the plan a little more succinctly, a little more clearly. You know, you're talking to the American public. You're talking to people who, by the tens of millions, tune in to watch American Idol. You're talking to people who, by the tens of thousands turn in to watch Fox News Channel and John Gibson. So, clarity, brevity, that's what's missing with the Democrats. Just simple statements. This is what the Republicans figured out a long time ago. Their statements are all lies, but they figured out the lies have to be short, succinct, to the point, and carry just enough fear and loathing and blood and a mention of Jesus' bloody corpse in order to convince the Republican faithful that they have the solution, right? I just wish the Democrats would do that. Now, this confusing withdrawal plan is just going to give ammo to these sick right-wing Republicans, which is all of them, who criticize the Democrats for not having a plan. Now, I'm having a problem understanding this, and I've been following this for years. It doesn't help that the C-SPAN audio was mushy, too. I'm not exactly certain, but I think this is the plan she's describing. First, in July 2007, that's a couple months, troops begin coming home if Bush can't demonstrate progress, whatever that means. In October, what is that? More dead Iraqis? What the hell is progress? This is urban guerrilla warfare. This is a counterinsurgency. Nancy, how do you measure progress in a war like this? You can't. If October 2007 comes and progress has begun but not completed, redeployment begins then. And the third part, the troops come home regardless of conditions in Iraq by August 2008. I think that's what she's trying to say. Listen up.
By July of 2007, if progress is not demonstrated, the president cannot certify that progress is made, we begin the redeployment of our troops out of a combat role in Iraq. If by October, say some progress is made in July, if by October progress has not been completed, we begin the redeployment of our troops out of Iraq. And then by the following year, if all the benchmarks are met, our troops are out no later than August of 2008.
She's going to rely on this filthy little bastard in the White House, George Bush, to certify progress? Oh, please, 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 Ms. Speaker of the House, please don't do this. Please. And if he doesn't certify progress by July of this year, then they begin a redeployment. What does that mean? And if the progress isn't completed and certified, how do you complete a progress? What does that mean? Progress is a process. How do you do that? The process is completed. Well, I guess you can complete a process, but how do you complete a progress? Oh, my God. So a reporter asked if Madam Speaker could clarify a little bit what the 180-day benchmark was and how our troops would be redeployed. I'm trying to get it here. See if you can get it.
But if they haven't made any progress by July, we begin the 180 days. If they haven't made progress, the president cannot demonstrate progress by July, we begin the 180 days. And then, if the president demonstrates that some progress has been made, but the progress is not sufficient by October, you know, say some progress has been made. Well, nothing happened. But by October, if the president cannot certify that these goals have been met, then the 180 days begins then.
Oh, Jesus, God. We got time to, let's do the last one. Stretch a minute if you have to. Last shot. Still befuddled reporters try a third time to make sense of this conditional redeployment plan. I thought she said there was an August 2008 pullout, but here I think she's talking about March 2008. Listen up. See if you can figure it out. I just have to wonder, is this the best and simplest solution possible?
Okay, well, let's try it again. Okay, if the president cannot just demonstrate that the progress has been made in reaching the benchmarks which he, President Bush, has established, by July 1st of 2007, we begin the 180-day period of redeployment begins to be finished in 180 days. If the president shows that progress is being made on July 1st, say he can certify that. If he cannot, if he does that, that takes us to October 1st, where we want to see the completion of those benchmarks. If that is not achieved, the 180 days begin. No matter what, by March 2008, the redeployment begins.
You know what this reminds me of? You know when Lucy holds the football, used to hold the football for Charlie Brown every year, and he would run to kick it, and she'd always pull it away. Well, finally, a year came when Lucy says, come on, Charlie, run, kick the football. He said, no, you do this to me every year, I'm not going to do it. She said, no, but it's okay. I have a signed affidavit here that says I will hold the football while you kick it. And Charlie Brown looks at it and goes, oh, my God, a signed affidavit. So he backs up and he runs and throws himself into the kick. And sure enough, she pulls the ball away and he falls on his ass again. And then she comes over and Lucy says, oh, my goodness, look here. The signed affidavit hasn't been notarized. I don't know what Nancy Pelosi just said. And I'm not, you know, I'm a high school graduate, for God's sake. I'm not totally stupid.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Okay, well, I'm not alone here on the Pelosi thing. Jane from PA writes, Mike, Pelosi's statement reminds me of income tax form instructions. I've listened to her statement several times and still don't understand. That's it exactly. And Terrence in Grand Rapids writes, Pelosi once again has shown she's a coward. If I was Bush, I would be laughing on the floor at her. The Dems are cowards. They aren't cutting off funds, and they aren't going to impeach. Therefore, they need to shut the hell up. I refused to vote for a Democrat in 08. We've already survived 6 years of Bush. If we can survive that, we can survive anything. Let the Republicans run the country into the ground. Only then can we have a revolution. Well, sure, that makes perfect sense. I don't know. Maybe it's just Congresswoman Pelosi. I don't think Henry Waxman's having any problem. I don't think Jan Schakowsky's having a problem. I don't think Maxine Waters is having a problem. I don't think most of the members of the so-called Black Caucus are having a problem. John Murtha is not having a problem. I don't get it with Nancy Pelosi. I really don't. Okay, we have one more, and this is General David Petraeus, his first news briefing as Multinational Force Iraq Commander. Boy, is that optimistic. Multinational force, what? 140,000 American and six Poles? Two Bulgarians and somebody from Colombia. Yeah, okay. Multinational Force Iraq. Anyway, in his first briefing here, Petraeus explains that there is no sufficient military solution to the insurgent fighting in Iraq. None. You got to have a political solution. He says military action is necessary but not sufficient to solve the problem. Then why the surge?
There is no military solution to a problem like that in Iraq, to the insurgency of Iraq. Military action is necessary to help improve security for all the reasons that I stated in my remarks, but it is not sufficient. A political resolution of various differences, of that is crucial. That is what will determine in the long run the success of this effort.
Okay, well, what do you think, Kathy? Within 2 weeks, he'll be fired. You know, how dare he say that all the hard work of Rumsfeld and all the psychotic, bloody fingerprints all over everything from Dick Cheney and all the bumbling, half-assed nonsense from George, that all this was for naught? Looks like Petraeus will be gone soon.
It's just astonishing to me how close he sounds to the Iraq Study Group proposal.
That was ignored by the Bush crime family, sure. Utterly ignored. Well, I wish that America's top military commanders, the ones who don't think that Jesus is floating around in the clouds over Somalia, over Mogadishu, we still have that jerk around, and I think he's got 3 stars on his shoulders. But if I just wish the highest levels of the U.S. military command would stop mincing words and either publicly, try it privately first, just get together with these neocon bastards and Cheney and the rest of them and just sit down and say, look, we're not going to fight the war anymore because we cannot win. We simply cannot win. Which is essentially what Petraeus is saying. You can't do this militarily. It can't be done. So every mom and dad in this country who has a son or daughter in Iraq, every husband who has a wife, every wife who has a husband, every child who has a parent, do you understand what David Petraeus, 4-star general, what he said today? Do you understand? And if you do, is it worth sending your relative into the meat grinder?
And now fighting for children, for homes and for wives, fighting for the memory of all the fell in the
Regarding the Pelosi thing, J.R. writes in, Mike, I think you must not be paying attention. If the Democrats attach this amendment to the funding proposal and it does not make it through both houses, then the money for the so-called surge is denied. If it passes and Bush vetoes it, then once again the funding is denied. Okay. And Reg writes, Mike, I think Nancy's being rather clever. She knows that this will never pass. Bush will veto any redeployment plan that has any dates on it, and there's no way she can get enough votes to override a veto, never mind getting this passed in the first place. Still, she's offering here binding legislation that goes along with the wishes of the large majority of the people of this country. Bottom line, troops out by March 2008, no matter what. This bill puts the Republicans in a bind, their choice being to bend to the will of the people and support a Democratic bill, or continue to support the madness of Bush's war plans. Ergo, details are not really necessary. The benchmarks, so-called, are Bush's choices, and it will be up to him to supply evidence that they've been met. That can remain as vague as always. And then Vicky writes in, how about this? And this is the Progressive Caucus calls for withdrawal from Iraq by December 31st this year. A leading member of the Progressive Caucus has introduced an amendment to the spending or to the pending Iraq War supplemental budget that calls for a complete withdrawal of U.S. troops and contractors from Iraq by December 31st. It's called the Lee Amendment, named after its author and Progressive Caucus co-chairwoman Barbara Lee of California. It's two-pronged. It calls for, quote, the continued protection of members of the armed forces and Department of Defense contractor personnel, and fully funding, quote, the safe and complete withdrawal from Iraq of all members of the armed forces and contractor personnel no later than December 31st, 2007. Now, at a press conference today, Maxine Waters, also part of the Progressive Caucus, also Democrat from California, who also co-chairs the Out of Iraq Caucus, said the amendment provides a reasonable and simple way out of Iraq, and she dismissed criticism that the group's intent is simply to cut off funds for the troops. She said, quote, we are reasonable, intelligent legislators elected by the people to make good decisions, and those people that try to paint us as folks that simply want to get out and leave our troops exposed are incorrect. We are intent on working with the leadership to come up with a date that makes good sense for an exit. And Jan Schakowsky is also part of the Progressive Caucus, said the Bush administration, she expressed her frustration with the Bush administration's strategy. She said, quote, no more chances, no more waivers, no phony certifications, no more sending millions of dollars to send our children into the meat grinder that is Iraq. It is time to spend the money to keep them safe and bring them home. And it goes on. Quote from Kucinich. He stressed that this amendment fully funds the withdrawal of U.S. troops. Okay. Difference of opinion here. Some of you think that Pelosi is, sly as a fox and trying to put the Democrats the Republicans into a trick bag. And that may be the case. And if so, good for her. And others think that the progressives ought to have a say in this and just get the hell out. I tend to agree with the Progressive Caucus. Not that I disagree with the folks that say Pelosi has a plan here, but I take the simplistic approach, the Occam's razor approach, I guess, unless I've this is total non sequitur, but the easy or the most rational solution to a problem is usually, or the simplest, or I guess you'd say the simplest explanation is the one, or the simplest explanation is usually the solution to a problem. And the simplest explanation, the Republicans, Republican thugs in Congress want the war to continue because so many of them are making money, blood money. And they're using the war on terror. I listened to David Boner today talk about how if we do leave, pull our troops out, that Al-Qaeda, or did he say terrorists, they're going to follow us home. These people are so goddamn sick, it almost stuns me. I mean, after all these years of my being exposed to filthy, degenerate Republicans, going back to 93, when Newt Gingrich started his word list about how to identify Democrats as being unpatriotic and anti-family and, all that other crap. Up to that point, I just thought Republican legislators were kind of mules, that they, did what they were told by Reagan or Ford or Nixon or whatever. Well, not Nixon, because some of them rebelled against his double dealing and chicanery. But with the advent of Newt Gingrich, it became clear that and the Christian right in politics, it became clear that these people are just miserable, murderous, sick bastards who want war and death and destruction. Part of it is because they're Armageddonists. They take one book written by a madman high on drugs out of the Bible, the Book of Revelation, and they use that as their sine qua non for what we're all supposed to be doing. Well, at least the good Christians, you know, getting ready for the rapture and the seven-headed beast and your mama and, you know, all this other crap. All right, to your phone calls. We have more to throw into the mix here, but let's do some phone calls because, once again, we're getting way behind. Sam is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I just had a question. Congressman Ram was talking about bringing the terrorists out of Gitmo to the U.S.
No, who was?
Congressman Moran.
Okay.
I just don't understand why he wants to do that.
Now, he was talking about doing what? Say it again.
He wants to bring the terrorists from Gitmo into the U.S. Can you explain that?
Well, what terrorists? We don't know who's in Gitmo. Do you know?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, no, you said, I don't know this Congressman Moran, but you said he wants to bring the terrorists from Gitmo to the U.S. What terrorists?
Well, the ones they're holding there. Well, that's what he said.
Well, no, those are not terrorists. They're not even being given a trial. Nobody knows who they are. There have been a lot of them released and sent home because they were cab drivers and sheep herders and opium growers. I mean, you call them terrorists. Where are you getting your information? Oh, wait a minute. You're getting your information from the pig man, from Limbaugh.
No, I'm just checking the internet.
Checking the internet. Where does it say on the internet that we're holding terrorists there? We're holding people that are called enemy combatants, which is a toy made-up term that doesn't mean anything. That, Sam, that would be like my calling you, I don't know, a ladder eater. And since you eat ladders, I have to make sure that you remain in a cage because you're a ladder eater. The term is nonsense. Enemy combatant is a nonsense term. So, but I mean, Bush and the pig man and Cheney and these right-wing morons that pollute the airwaves, they refer to them as terrorists, but they've never even been given a trial. But what you really wanted to talk about was the Democratic plan for troop withdrawal, right?
Well, yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I don't understand it.
Well, no, neither do I. I mean, you're barking up the wrong tree, pal. What do you think she's saying?
Well, I think she's trying to trick bag the Republicans into something that isn't going to happen.
And what is that something she's trying to trick bag them into?
Maybe she's trying to call them on the carpet, but I don't think she has the balls to do it.
Well, she's a woman, so she probably would not have a gonads. But listen, thanks, Sam. I appreciate you checking in. I think you're kind of a half-wit, but you know, thanks for checking in. Where do these people come from? Nancy doesn't have the balls? John is calling from Idaho. John, welcome to the program. Hey, John.
Yeah, this is John. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm
oh,
well, I'm
okay.
Not there. No, I'm
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I had the last at that last caller, but I wasn't sure he was coming from either. But what I was thinking of, I called a few weeks ago and said the only solution to any of these problems is public financing of elections, and you said, well, that isn't going to happen because of some
right.
Supreme Court decision. We can find a way around that eventually. We could look at Germany and their model and how that's working over there. But that's not why I called. You were close.
Hey, can you hold on a minute?
Well, sure.
All right, John, let me put you on hold because we got to do a break here. We'll come back to you in just a second. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us.
Bye, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Turn on your night when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
Before the hour, I think we lost John in Idaho. John, I notice you're not on the line there. Either we broke the connection or something happened. If you want to call back, we'll bump you up to the front of the line. Ron is calling from Davis, California. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Mike, how you doing? You know, I've been talking to you off and on now for over 2 years, I think, and I feel like I'm still in the same place. I mean, and all this horror has gone on for 2 years. And so I really become uneasy with sort of armchair Democratic quarterbacks who are looking at all the strategies when this meat grinder horror show goes on hour by hour by hour. Now, regarding Nancy Pelosi, it's not Orwellian talk she's doing. It's sort of like swimming in mud. Because if you're going to... Yeah, if you're going to use the word progress, you have to have something that you're measuring.
Yeah.
So this general says political resolution. All right, that's a vague, vague term to measure. Now, if you said 20-story building in downtown Baghdad, well, you know, that's something else. Are we making progress or not? But for Nancy to turn it over to the king, you know, chuckle nuts in this imperial executive,
right,
and say, well, the president's going to decide, you know, whether or not we meet the benchmarks. It sounds to me like she's trying to satisfy the hardest right-wing Democrat and the most liberal Democrat in one word, progress, and, which is absolutely just, she may as well say oatmeal. And so I just become terribly frustrated. I want somebody to go for the juggler on this and just say, It's a horror show, and this is working quite well for the neocons. It has nothing to do with they want it this way. They can make money off bloodshed. This is perfect. It's not a mistake. But I know it's not going to come from Congress. It'll come from people like you and me.
Well, you know, the problem I'm having here, and I mean this seriously. I'm not trying to be cavalier, but I'm having a hell of a problem trying to understand why Nancy Pelosi would define her plan here, or not define it, but the key elements would be progress reports from Bush. He's a lying son of a bitch who took us. What does she mean by that?
Yeah, hello, good morning. I mean, yeah, he lies. You know, I mean, leave it to him.
And then she says certifiable or certified progress. What does that mean? I mean, certify what? They're going to issue a certificate? That's usually what certified means. A certificate that says thus and such has happened, and the proof of thus and such happening is here. You know, I mean, this is nonsense. Unless
it's babble. It's like Alice in Wonderland. It's through the looking glass. It's like, here, have a cup of happiness. I mean, what the hell are you talking about? You know, I mean,
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
A cup of happiness.
Yeah, you know, we're all screaming and pulling our hair out with all this blood, and they're talking about, you know, now they're talking about strategy. Oh, well, yeah, March of 2000. I mean, God,
take
a trip to Iraq.
I know.
Jesus.
Well, what do you think? You know, I read those two emails, one from Reg and one from J.R., I remember J.R. said, I think you must not be paying attention. If the Democrats attach this amendment to the funding proposal and it doesn't make it through, now you don't...
No, well, what I'm saying... No, I'm going to cut you off. Because I heard you say those things. Go ahead.
Well, no, J.R. said if this amendment to that Nancy's Pelosi's amendment, however garbled it sounds to you and me, if she can clarify the language and make it as part of this... a funding bill, the supplemental funding bill, and the Republicans vote no, won't do it, or it gets through and Bush vetoes it, doesn't that end the funding right there, at least for the surge?
Yeah, but surge, merge.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, here's another thing about that stupid surge. I mean, we've been talking about the surge for 3 months. So what does the Mahdi army do, which is totally fragmented and not really run by Mukhtar al-Sadr anymore? Mm-hmm. And what do the Sunnis do? They pull back because we gave them 3 months' warning.
But they're still murdering people by the scores.
Absolutely. And we pull off again, they'll just come back, and the slaughter will still keep going. And so, I mean, the reason Bush, I'm sure, let everybody know there's going to be a surge. If you're going to do a surge, you don't tell anybody. The reason he told the world is because, you know, gives you guys the chance to pull back and keep chaos going, and then you come back and keep. And meanwhile, all the sort of middle-of-the-road Democrats will be planning things. And putting dates and benchmarks, and we'll talk to the president. This has got to be by. Get out!
Yeah, I know. I'm probably in the
It's same. Just maddening. I mean, all I can do is say, get out yesterday. Whatever you call it, just get out.
I hear you. Ron, thanks.
All right, Mike.
All right, appreciate you checking in. When Ron said, get out, it reminded me of Elaine on Seinfeld. Remember, she'd say, get out, and just push Jerry clear across the room. Remember that? We ought to have Elaine go over there and just get up, stand up in front of Petraeus and say, get out! And just push his ass. Clear, you know. Jesus, she'd be dead before she took another breath, wouldn't she? Julia Louis-Dreyfus? This is from E.O. Mike, do you remember how easy it was for Nancy Pelosi to call Hugo Chavez a thug after he so rightly called Bush a devil? She had no problem disrespecting the office of the presidency of Venezuela, defending Bush, while being insulted by the criminals in the Republican Party for 6 years. She never once used the word thug to describe them. I truly feel that it is impossible for a Washington Democrat to show true anger and disgust toward a Republican. Probably the only hope we have of ever seeing the Republican Party destroyed is to have it become more integrated. What white Democrats put up with white Republicans, they will never put up with black Republicans. White people in America are so programmed to believe that only poor and black people are criminals that their minds won't allow them to accept anything different. There was once the Boston Tea Party. I suggest that we have a voters' registration card party where we go to Washington and burn our voter registration cards in front of these vile and disgusting Democrats. Or something. I think John in Idaho is back. John, I apologize for losing you there.
It's okay. It's okay, Michael. I appreciate you putting me back on, because what I really called about, aside from the public financing of elections, was you were talking about, well, Waxman doesn't seem to be a problem. Was it the Black Caucus doesn't seem to be having any problem? Why does Nancy Pelosi seem to be having a problem?
Right.
When you said that, I thought to myself, well, let's step back, and because I was having a problem, too. Push the issues aside for a second and look at the person. Nancy Pelosi is married to one of the wealthiest families in California. Now, Mike, I suggest she's also a member of the ruling elite in this country. We are in the grip of fascists right now. And that's the simple truth. The same ones my father fought in World War II, the same ones Hemingway wrote about and For Whom the Bells Toll. We're in the grip of a fascist government right now. And I think the lines sometimes blur between Democrats and Republicans. It's not quite as clear cut. And while we have honorable Democrats, we even have, in fact, the one I really the one politician I treasure most right now is Bernie Sanders out of Vermont. This guy's a national treasure, but he's an independent.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me interrupt here for just a second because
sure.
I just got another email from JR, John, and he writes, Mike, I thought of it right once again to make my point clearer. If there is no funding proposal that goes through, there is no way that Bush can continue the war. If the Democrats stick to their guns on this, no funding will get through. With no funding, we have to pull out of Iraq, and the Democrats cannot be blamed for cutting off the funding like the Republicans would like. This whole idea is masterful. If Nancy thought of it, she's a genius. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, it could be a trap, as was mentioned before, on her part, and a clever one, if it is.
Right.
And whether or not it would work, I don't know if that would stop them right away. They do have the black ops. I think they would be able to continue for a while. I think, who knows, he could pull off something like martial law. I mean, these guys are nuts. I don't see them leaving office in 2 years. I'm very, more than anything, that worries me. More than anything.
Yeah, it does me too. I don't know how they would.
Because everything seems to be in place. This business about American troops could now fire upon American citizens. This was signed into law, 4 weeks ago? Everything seems to be in place now with the Patriot Act and all the surveillance and the spying and the reading of our mail and our email and all that. Everything seems to be in place. That's all I keep saying to myself. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck.
Yeah, it probably is one. All right.
Yeah, of course, probably is one. Thank you, Michael.
Of course, there's always duck hunting season. Thanks. It's difficult to know what to believe anymore. I certainly agree with those folks on the left that say, you know, the whole country is being run by a ruling class. There's just degrees of ugliness among these members of the ruling class. I don't know anything about Pelosi's background, and I'll take his word for it. If she comes from one of the wealthiest families in California, okay. I don't necessarily believe, though, that having wealth, especially inherited wealth, probably more so than earned wealth, inherited wealth is necessarily creates a corrupt individual. I think about Stuart Brand. For example, or Stuart Mott. Who am I thinking of? Stuart Mott, I guess. I think about some of the, even Bill Gates. I know we all can hate Bill Gates because, he's a thief and stole other people's ideas, but he was a marketing genius, and he is giving away billions of dollars for global health. And don't write to me. Please don't tell me what a thug he really is. I'm just using that is an example. I don't necessarily believe that inherited wealth used properly is a bad thing. There have been an awful lot of rich people who did an awful lot of good things. You understand what I'm saying? By the same token, I've got to go back to my kind of socialist roots and believe that working to acquire wealth, what has to be done to acquire great wealth. I just heard today, of course, MSNBC or CNN or somebody put it out, a new list of billionaires. We have 964, I believe that was the number, billionaires in America now. Now, that's obscene, and we all know it's obscene. And the average net worth of those billionaires is $3.6 billion. Some of them, like the Walton family, Walmart, in the double-digit billions. Those numbers don't mean anything to me in terms of what they really are, except for one thing. It means utter and absolute, the potential is there for utter and absolute corruption. And I understand that. But I don't necessarily condemn, is all I'm trying to say, people of great wealth who use it properly, especially if it's inherited wealth. I know I'm just making all the socialists out there just furious. That's not my intent. I'm trying to make a point here, and I guess it's not coming across very well. Because I truly understand the misuse of wealth, and 99.9% of the time it is misused. But I don't think it's axiomatic that someone who has great wealth is going to misuse it or use his or her position based on that wealth to for ugly, horrible means, huh? If you disagree with that, send me an email. I don't know what I sit here. I don't know what I believe anymore. I really don't. Are you getting that point? When we get off the air, as you know, because I've told you, it's midnight here in the East, and Kathy and I will usually break open a bottle of Australian wine, and sometimes California wine, but mostly we're kind of hooked on Australian wines right now, and we'll have a glass of wine, and Kathy might make a quesadilla, and we'll just sit there and talk for a minute, like, you know, what the hell did we just do for the past 3 hours? And where do we stand on the issues? I used to be very clear thinking to myself. I knew exactly where I stood on everything. I knew what was black, what was white, what was gray, what was red, what was green. And I don't know. Things have gotten so blurred that some nights we honestly don't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, don't you kind of chalk that up to the fact that, you know, Karl Rove read Orwell's 1984 in high school and decided to use it as some sort of how-to manual for replacing the United States Constitution?
Maybe, and I've also thought it's just me. But then I hear people, I get all these emails. Christ, I get about 200, 300, 400 emails a day. I wish I could answer them all, and I can't. And I get snail mail, and I get all this stuff. And I listen and I read and I hear and I think, man, it's not just me. It's not just me at all. Brad is calling from Mainz, Germany. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Mike. Jeez, I didn't expect it quite that quick.
Well,
Mike, you woke me up again. Damn it, could you stop your rants for the first hour so I can get a little bit longer sleep over here?
It must be about 5 in the morning there.
Yeah, it's a quarter after 5.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the reason I called this morning is two things. I think that it may be the complete reason why these Democrats that we all elected, although my vote probably wasn't counted again because I vote absentee in Florida.
Oh, we won't forget it.
Yeah, I know. I even got my son registered this year. He lives over here with me, and we voted, but who knows? Anyhow, coincidentally, almost all the congressional districts that weren't really watched closely in Florida all ended up exactly 60-40. Mine too.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, I think these people have all been compromised by the wiretapping. I think these people secretly have contacted Nancy Pelosi and some of these other people that, you know, were talking big like they were going to do something and said, well, now, remember that little business deal you had here? Or remember that little sex thing? And you want this to come out? We know about it because we've been listening to you. And I think these people are just all compromised. And,
doesn't that, though, require, if you believe that, doesn't it also require you to believe that everybody in government that might apply to is an utter coward? I mean, you know, I've lived a life. I've got stuff in my past that I probably wouldn't like the whole world to know.
Absolutely, don't we all?
But
and everybody does.
Right, but if I were a Speaker of the House or a government official, and some little rat bastard threatened me like that, I think that I would say, you know, I'd immediately go public and say, look what these people are trying to do. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I have anything that horrible in my... Oh, wait a minute. There was that.
Yeah, but you know, Mike, these people have been in politics a long time. And like the one caller you had said, Nancy Pelosi's got big business interests. You never know that they're, you know, might not even be her. It might be her husband, you know. It could be... And it's not just her. I thought John Conyers was going to do something. I thought, you know... Yeah. I'm waiting for Henry Waxman to do something. He's
kind
of goofy looking. He probably doesn't have an affair.
Brad, yeah. I either have to put you on hold or say goodnight. I got to break.
Yeah, put me on hold short because I want
right.
to talk to you real
right.
quick
we'll
about gauging.
We'll come right back and talk with Brad in Mainz, Germany. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
Lost in a lost world.
Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio.
Everybody say
be left out? Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Well, for the people listening to NSA, we still have Brad, who's called in from Mainz, Germany, on the line. Let's go back to Brad.
Okay, Mike, real quick on the whole compromise and whistleblower thing. I was a whistleblower back under the first Bush administration, and it took 8 years and 23 operations before I finally broke even with the bastards. So I can see from that standpoint how when you're a little bit higher, it's even rougher. But my second point that I wanted to call about was, I spent a lot of time as a disability retired person over here talking to my German friends in the local Gasthauses. And when I first came here, Mike, I couldn't say anything bad about America. They loved America. America came in, conquered them after the war, fed them all as little kids, and all these people are now grown up and they're my age, and they just loved America. But in the last year, I've noticed how slowly the opinions begin to change. And yesterday, I was sitting around talking to these guys. You there?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I was on, and it wasn't sure. You didn't say anything, Mike. Normally, you
just
say something.
just listening, Brad.
Good. I can talk a lot. These guys. Today, I was telling them about it, and they're all now concerned that German forces, which are now down in Afghanistan and out there, they got naval forces, are going to get sucked into this thing. And all of a sudden, they're beginning to see that we really do have a situation in America very much like their fathers had in 1934 and 35. And when I used to make that comparison, they said, oh, no, the Nazis were bad and this and that, and that couldn't happen in America. But it has happened, Mike. And
I wonder sometimes what people in different countries think.
In France,
especially in countries that have had the experience of fascism, like Italy, like Spain, like Germany, like certain parts of Eastern Europe. I just wonder sometimes what
one of the guys I know was actually in one of these German Ordensburgs where they were actually training the people to be the future masters. He was a special student, and he's one of the few guys who, when I talk to him, they know. Yeah, the guys that were old enough to remember how the people were brainwashed and stuff. Most of the other guys are my age. They were born a little bit after the war, like you. Or maybe you were born during the war. I was born in 50. But today, when I told them that there are now watches being sold in America where it just counts down to Bush's last second, they asked if there was any way they could order some. And they thought it was hilarious. But even when the Germans start being critical of America, it's probably a pretty good indication that if we're being criticized in Germany, that we're hated everywhere else.
Well,
people basically love us.
I think Bush is finding out in South America. It's my understanding that people are in the streets by the tens of thousands. Hey, Brad, thanks for checking in. Let me go.
Mike, I appreciate it. Hey, I like your comment, the guacamole. That's great. I laughed my ass off. Thanks a lot for taking my call, man.
Okay, Brad, take care. Credit where credit's due. Guacamole is Kathy's. Huh?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I think I stole that from one of David Letterman's top 10 lists.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
nothing's original.
Right.
But it's brilliant, and it should be spread far and wide. And we are going to have guacamole on tomorrow.
Suzanne says, good evening, Mike. I think we're all just suffering from a massive case of outrage overload. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. It's about 25 before the hour. Jan in New York City, regarding leaders who are born to wealth. Jan writes, Mike, JFK knew what wealthy people did with their taxes and cut the top rate from 90% to 70% and closed the loopholes. FDR was considered to have turned on his class. Sometimes it takes one to outsmart one. Who knows better the games being played than a member of the player class? And regarding Pelosi or withdrawal or whatever, Eleanor writes, pardon my common sense approach to George Bush, Nancy Pelosi, and just about everyone else right now, but if I'm having an otherwise passable summer evening and then a damn June bug tries to flap my nose, I do not sit back and try to rationalize or understand the psyche of the damn June bug that flew up my nose. I smack the hell out of my own face and try to beat it out of there because until it is out of there, my life isn't worth snot, literally. Common sense, storm the Bastille. Right. Oh, God. Get the pitchforks and the burning torches, as what's his name used to talk about. This is the third senior moment I've had tonight. The right-wing pundit whose sister also, you know who I'm talking about, Buchanan, Pat Buchanan. Filing system is breaking down. It really is. All right, back to your phone calls. Tom is calling from Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, thank
Hi.
You.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. Quite a surprise there. Yeah. What I want to try to get out here is I'm kind of in shock that we're missing what's happening to us. It's kind of like, I don't know, Circus Maximus or whatever I might imagine about Rome, where the elite had the barbarians and the other people playing games and killing each other. We've got this artificial polarity called Republican and Democrat. And here we are playing the game, and, oh, they're terrible and they're terrible. Meanwhile, the real polarity is with the wealthy and the poor. And we know that the difference between them is growing astronomically, geometrically. We know that in 1913, we know this, any of us who have looked into it, in 1913, basically our country was taken over by the bankers. And they've been in control in Europe. And anyone who gets in the way will get a shot in the back of their
head.
What
happened in 1913?
Oh, well, that's when the Federal Reserve was formed.
Oh, okay.
And once the Federal Reserve, Wilson was brought, you know, I don't know if you know the history, but Wilson was brought, was the man who would sign it into law. And when they found that he might not win it, they brought Teddy Roosevelt out of retirement, and he split the other party so that Roosevelt got in. And when he got out of office, he said, I have betrayed my country. And the end of the rest of his life was, he felt terrible.
Who said that? Teddy Roosevelt?
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
Because the Federal Reserve is a private consortium of bankers who control the money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're in touch with the other central bankers around the world. And it's the central banks that are running what's going on. And they've got you and I, you know, I'm pointing at Pelosi, and Pelosi's pointing at them. Meanwhile, guess who the real constituency is of every elected member of Congress? Not you and I, but the people that put him into office and the people that will put him into office on the next go-around. It won't be our votes because, as we know, our votes may or may not be counted. And even if they are counted, in the end, guess what? At the very end, just before election, when you get the Democrat and the Republican nominees, we get a choice between a heart attack and a stroke. Which one do you want?
Right.
Oh, I'll take the stroke. No, the heart attack's better. You know, and the, So they've got us playing this absurd game, and we're missing the point. Look at all the energy you expand and everybody like you.
Okay, but all right, let me ask you, though, Tom.
Okay.
And yes. part of my discourtesy in interrupting. But,
no problem.
But if everything, let's just say everything you're saying is absolutely true, how has it happened then that for almost 100 years, since 1913, people have managed to live what I think a lot of people would consider a fairly good life. They've had children, they've been married, or they've had children and not been married, or they've been in gay relationships, and you know, whatever the relationship has been.
Mm-hmm.
They've been with their partner or their spouse. They've either had or not had children. They've either bought a house or not bought a house, or did a car or didn't do a car, whatever. But as they approached 60, 70, 80 years old, I think a lot of people said, you know, I didn't have a bad life, especially in comparison with, say, these emerging societies around the planet. I hate to use the term third world because it's very condescending, but If what you're saying is true, if there is this vast plot to, you know, to separate us from the wealthy, a quick answer would be, so what? I mean, I really don't give a tinker's damn what a billionaire does. Do you?
No.
Okay. So, and I feel like I've had dire moments in my life. I've lost a lot of my family who have died. I've been dirt poor at times, but I've you know, as I look back on everything at this point, I think, Jesus, it could have been a hell of a lot worse. So I guess my question is, so what?
Well, so what is the problem? Is this is the they're about to pounce. This mm-hmm. is the end. They're like praying mantises. They're sitting around. It's near the end. Like one of your previous callers mentioned, anyone who's like paying attention realizes there are like 600 prison camps around this country that are empty and fully operational. I mean, one of the last acts of the 109th Congress was to appropriate $38 million to reopen the internment
right.
camps. For what? For show?
Well, they said they were doing it in yeah. case they had to put illegal aliens there.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, in case. But we all know that the North American Union is set to go into effect in May of 08. Which is going to remove the sovereignty of the U.S., Canada, and
okay,
Mexico.
can you give me in 90 seconds or less what you see as a possible solution? Because the picture you paint, and I'm not saying I disagree with you. Don't misunderstand, Tom. I'm not sitting here trying to be, you know, some kind of a jerk saying, oh, well, Tom's crazy. I hear what you're saying, and I, you know, I do get it.
Okay.
But I think most Americans or huge minority of Americans over the past 75 years would say my life hasn't been all that bad. And if things are as you say, and I've heard this so many times, the Democrats and Republicans are exactly alike. They don't give a damn about us. We are in fascism. I've said it. I've said all of that. So what do we do? Do we try to make the best of a situation that has the potential to be a lot worse? Do we take up weapons and overthrow the government? What do we do?
Well, I think we start by bringing the awareness to the rest of the world. I mean, we know that most people out there don't really think. They only regurgitate what they are fed. But we start making the rhetoric and making the problems that we're all discussing, let's talk about them in the real terms. The real terms are not Democrats and Republicans. And see, what's happening is you and I have a lot of energy, and there's a lot of our compatriots that have a lot of energy, and we're putting it in the wrong direction. And that's the direction that's going to allow them to do what they're going to do. They are about to do it. You've got to know that. And you and I have had a good life, but we're near the end. You know, my kids certainly won't have the life I had. And their kids certainly won't have a life.
Well, I think about that a lot.
And then we're not even talking about the environment. We're not talking about the fact that 100,000 acres of rainforest are ripped up every 24 hours. I mean, that's some other stuff. You know, but if we start getting into environmental things plus all these things, and they've got us running around in this circle expending tons of energy that could be, perhaps, I don't really have the solution. I just know that we're beating each other up when we could be addressing those that we need to, you know?
Well, I'm sure there are people out there smarter than you and I who perhaps have come up with solutions. You know, I talk about making sure that you're a gun owner and all this other stuff, but I realize that that's just kind of BS rhetoric, although I am, but I'm just saying, a revolution in this country would have an Ice Cube's chance in hell at succeeding.
Right.
So the idea is to find the creative solutions. The idea is to, and I'm sure this is the subtext of what you're saying, the idea is not to buy into this crap, for people to develop those creative solutions and eventually try to move past it if we can maintain enough of our freedoms in order to do that. I think that's what you're saying.
That's exactly it.
All right. Well, Tom, I got to leave there. Thanks a lot for checking in.
I appreciate
everything you had to say. You make great sense. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Ah, to hell with it. Get your guns out. No. James is calling from Indiana. Hey, James.
Hi, Mike. I've never heard your show before. I just stumbled across you on the internet because I can't stand watching TV anymore.
Now, hear that.
I've heard your name before, but
yeah,
that's about it. So I'm not exactly sure where you stand on things, but it doesn't really matter. So the reason I called in was earlier you were talking about the Democrats pulling out of Iraq and what's taking
right.
so long and
right.
how to do it. And frankly, from my point of view, my history is, I used to be a Republican. I used to support George Bush.
Hey, can you hold on a second, James?
Sure.
All right, I got to do a break here. I'll come back in just a couple of minutes. Stay right there. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Thanks to the usual gang of outlaws who produced this program tonight. Ian Huff, engineer to answer your calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the comments page, message board. And the head gangster, Catherine Bay, who produces the program. If you haven't been to NovaMradio.com and signed up for the downloads and podcasts yet, please go. Please do it. Huh? Okay, thanks. All right, back to we were talking with James in Indiana. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, the Democrats have too much to lose by pulling the troops out of Iraq. Because if they pull the troops out of Iraq, what good would it do? The American people support that, but that's it. They don't represent the American people. See, there's too much money to be lost. Too much money to be lost, and this administration can do a terrorist attack pretty easy.
Are you saying though that the Democrats want to keep troops in Iraq and this is just a game?
No, I'm saying they're too scared to pull them out. It's easier to just say yes, we want these troops out, but not do anything, because if they pull them out and there is a terrorist attack, it'll be the old knock on the Democrats. They're weak on terrorism.
Okay, so given that line of thinking, then neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are going to remove the troops. There is no way that we're going to win in that battle. We could send 500,000 troops, and we still wouldn't win. One word, Vietnam, or two words if you choose. The only way we can defeat the Iraqi insurgency is to use nuclear weapons and kill everybody.
No. No, we still win, because the only people that matter in this game are the people running things. That's the military-industrial complex, and they win. And that's who elects the officials. They win. They're making money. As long as there's a war, they're going to make money, and we have to have a war, because that's what our economy is based on.
Okay, well, knowing what you know then, what keeps you here in the struggle?
Because there's only one thing that can stop it, and that's the people waking up. They have to know this. Most people don't even know this because they're fat, or they're not fat, but you know, they're not hungry and they're not cold. As long as they're not hungry and they're not cold, things are fine. But people don't know. They don't know anything except what's on their TV and what their TV tells them, and that's it. But more people are waking up to knowing this. But our economy is based on war.
Okay, so you're saying that the hope you see is that enough people do come to the realization that you're talking about and do something. What is it that they're going to do? Vote other people out and other people in?
Well, yes, that's one thing, because there are other things besides Democrats and Republicans. The other thing is, when these Democrat and Republican representatives know that their constituents are making, you know, arguments to them that make sense, the American people have to wake up, because nothing is going to stop the superpower taking over the world as an imperial empire, which we don't want. Most Americans do not want an empire. But the only thing that's going to stop it is the Americans, American people. The Italians ain't going to stop it. They can't. It's impossible. The American people have to do it. And the only way they can do it is they have to know first. First of all, they have to know. Most people don't know anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I hear what you're saying. Listen, tune in once in a while and call in once in a while, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, James. Take care. Carol is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Mike. Nice to talk to you. I'll talk quick because I know it's near the end.
So, you're the second or third person that said that tonight in different contexts. You people know something I don't.
This is the end, my friend. No, I run home. Yeah, I hear you on the radio walking home, and I run home, and I drive my one hand crazy holding the phone. I get a cramp in the left hand. I get a repetitive motion injury, dialing like crazy. But anyway, your slur of the week, rotten decaying cyborg.
Yeah.
Janie, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Anyway, Nancy Pelosi hails from here, San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi is absolutely part of the rich elite, part of the rich elite of San Francisco, part of the rich elite of the country. Her father was a politician in Baltimore. She's to the manor born. She I think she was in District 8, which is largely gay. Ask any gay member of San Francisco how much Nancy Pelosi has done for them. Also, two of her male relatives are part of the Lennar Corporation, which is right now engaged in throwing out all of the African Americans from Bayview Hunter's Point so they can steal it and put the stadium in there, keep the stadium going so they can keep the 49ers. Nancy Pelosi is absolutely part of the rich. And if you and Kathy want to sit back and, you know, have your wine at the end of the day, think rich and poor. Everybody who's saying that is absolutely right.
So, am I to take from what you're saying and what several other people have said tonight that Nancy Pelosi, because she's comes from a wealthy family, that she is, if not inherently evil, just inherently doesn't give a damn?
She's inherently classist. She's part of the rich elite.
Is that evil? Is that negative? Is it good?
Well, look at the way she's using it. She's talking out of all four corners of her mouth simultaneously. Look at the way she's using it. And if people want to do something, I think there are going to be demonstrations all over the country on, the 18th, 17th, and 18th.
Yeah.
The 18th in San Francisco. But, oh, absolutely. She's got these two male relatives who are absolutely stealing land from the African-American community in San Francisco, and she hasn't done anything about it.
Yeah, well, there's nothing new about that, I guess. All right, listen, Carol.
She could do a lot.
We're almost out of time.
Mike, we love you.
Thanks, Carol. I appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. All right, take care. Oh, Jesus, what do we do tonight, Kathy? Do we?
I say we have the Shiraz.
The Shiraz. Oh, I wish I were like the pig man or some of these other right-wingers who just have all the answers and sound so confident and know what's going on. I'm absolutely lost, confused, dazed, wandering around bumping into stuff. Man. All right, well, we'll continue the truth-seeking search tomorrow. Jesus, is anything real? I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for participating, however you did that. All right, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.